their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk.
This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're always delighted to have you join in the dialogue and discussion. In fact, we'd love to have you call in, asking your questions, giving your thoughts, your input as to what we're saying as we face the issues each and every day. We're asking the question today, should Christians have a voice in our government? Should Christians have a voice in our government? Perhaps you say, well, you know, that's not possible because there's a separation of church and state. Perhaps you say, well, you know, Christians are supposed to just tell people about Jesus and let the government do whatever it wants to do. Well, the question that then must come, how did Jesus respond to civil government? How did the Apostle Paul, Peter, James, John, how did Daniel respond to the civil government in his era? How should we then use that as an example for believers today, conservatives, Christians, and patriots today? We're witnessing today, ladies and gentlemen, a governmental system, as we see in the D.C. Beltway, one that, as we watch it, we see the Marxist media and the Socialist Marxist Communist Party trying to undermine and tear down and destroy all that President Trump has said he's going to do and attempting to do. There's a move even among some in the Marxist left that say they need to impeach, a term that the Democrats know well, impeach the president, impeach Elon Musk. Those are some of the cries that we hear. What is it that the Democrats on the left, the Marxist media, what is it they're fearful of being uncovered, discovered, and revealed in the American political arena today that's causing them to be so frightful, so fearful, so anguished, so angry, and so determined to tear down our constitutional republic? What is it they're afraid of? What should we do in response to it? And when we see, ladies and gentlemen, President Trump's supposed to give his speech tonight, multitudes of the Democrats on the left have already decided what he will say, how he will say it, and as one said it, one Democrat said, that we already know that everything he says will be lies, lies, and lies after lies. Why is it the Democrats have made a decision, even before President Trump's speech tonight, that they're simply going to not show up? Are they going to come in with some kind of confrontation in relationship to his speech to the joint session of Congress? Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing the deterioration of our constitutional republic. The Democrats on the left have already filed almost 100, I think it's 94 or 96, suits on local, state, and federal levels, trying to prevent Trump from moving forward with what he promised in his election campaign that he would do, and is now trying to carry it out. So with all that we see, all that is taking place, multitudes of those things that's happening that we do not have time to cover today, but those that we see happening, see taking place, and yet we see silence, for the most part, on the part of Christians and pastors. I'll talk about one pastor in California. His name is Jack Hibbs. He's challenging from his pulpit challenging the left, challenging the Democrats, challenging the audience of about 10,000 people in his congregation to vote Republican. Why is it that we're not hearing more of that across America? Why is it that when a pastor does that, a conservative or a Christian takes a stand like that, there's an attempt to eviscerate, destroy, and tear down that voice? We'll talk about that today as we talk about should Christians have a voice in our government. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. In John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, there's a declaratory statement about the word of God. Thy word is truth. Psalms 117:2, the Bible says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand what is truth, how to recognize truth. It was the secularist George Orwell that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those that speak it. And we find that to be absolutely factual and truthful even today. The former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint made this statement in part. Headline about DeMint says, DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, this is what he said. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real, yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. And then the latest survey shows that 55% of the millennials, that's the 18 to 35-year-old age group, have this position. They said there's no such thing as absolute truth. Their further statement is this. Each person determines their own version of truth. This is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, I know that I use it each and every day on this broadcast by way of pre-monologue getting into the subject. And that is the statement from Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And that's our position on this broadcast each and every day. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark and identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. May I set the pace before we introduce our guest today and discuss this issue of should Christians have a voice in government? May I just set the pace with reading a portion. It's a two full page article. I'm going to read just a portion. And it says the headline on this, to whomever wrote this, well said. When millions of illegals ushered in through the southern borders, you said nothing, speaking to the Democratic Party all the way through in this article. When they abandoned millions of dollars worth of military equipment to Afghanistan, you said nothing. When they flaunted to a two-tier justice system, one for them and one for everyone else, you said nothing. When they covered up Hunter Biden's laptop, you said nothing. When they passed trillions of dollars infrastructure bill that failed miserably, you said nothing. When they forced Americans to take an untested vaccine, you said nothing. When inflation crushed the middle class, yet you said nothing. When they sent billions to Ukraine, you said nothing. When chemicals polluted the water in East Palestine, Ohio, and they ignored it, you said nothing. And when Americans were raped, robbed, and murdered by illegals, you said nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, the entire article talks about silence from the Democratic Party when it comes to important issues that should be dealt with and that we should embrace in our society today. It goes back to a question that I asked recently. David, in his writings in the Psalms, in Psalms 94 and verse 16, David said, "Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity?" Now that's a powerful question. That's basically my question today. As Christians, conservatives, and patriots, are we going to stand up against iniquity? Are we going to stand up against evildoers? Are we going to stand up and speak out against that which is taking place that's undermining and destroying our constitutional republic today? Ladies and gentlemen, the Democrats want to blast President Trump for kicking Zelensky out of the Oval Office. In fact, most of the Marxist media said as Zelensky left the office, I wouldn't know what happened. He was literally booted out, kicked out of the Oval Office. He didn't even need to have his lunch with the dignitaries for that meeting. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a real caveat that we must recognize and speak about. And that is, before Zelensky met with President Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance, he had a meeting of about 4 hours with a whole litany of the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party, putting in his mind what he should do. And basically, they encouraged him to reject President Trump's offer. They encouraged him to say no to signing the document that he had come to Washington to sign. And yet the media is talking about how Trump treated him wrong and Trump did this and Trump did that. And ladies and gentlemen, it was the Socialist Marxist Communist Party that packed his head with, that's his, Zelensky's head with, a rejection of what Trump was about to say. And therefore we saw the end result of it. Ladies and gentlemen, there must be today among Christians, among believers, among pastors, among conservatives, there must be the fact that we need to stand for truth. The Democratic Party on the left, there's a resistance to the truth of finding trillions of dollars of waste, fraud, and that which is taking place in all the federal departments. There's a resistance to the fact about our open borders, once open borders, are now closed, and what Trump has been able to do in preserving the integrity of the American homeland, a resistance to it. And we're finding that resistance openly, audibly, and actually. What are we saying? What are we doing? How should we then respond to that? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have as our very special guest. By the way, before I introduce our guest, let me tell you this. Remind you, sometimes I forget it. If you want to call in, ask a question, join in the dialogue and discussion on today's subject. Should Christians, let me just even add to that, should Christians and conservatives have a voice in our government? Should we have a seat at the table? I think is the way you could speak to it in today's culture. Should we have a seat at the table to have a say-so on what's happening in our governmental system and what is taking place? And I'm delighted today, ladies and gentlemen, to have a very special guest. It's our pleasure to introduce to you our guest, and that is Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill is the former District 1 Florida House of Representatives member. Welcome, Congressman Hill, to Let's Face the Issues today. Delighted to have you take time out of your schedule to be with us.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. There is so much that is going on with the beginning of the Trump administration that they no longer say the first 100 days. Now they say the first week, the first month, and it continues to just amaze everyone at how much is getting done. And it needs to get done. As Trump has stated himself, 4 years is not a long time. And he actually has less time than that because the midterms are going to be coming up next year and things could change dramatically at that time. So he has to get everything done as quickly and as efficiently as possible. to answer your opening statement question, should Christians be involved? And we absolutely should. We absolutely must. When we are not involved, then you see the results that we had during the Obama and the Biden administration. Total chaos, degradation, morals, a philosophy at its lowest. So we must get involved, not only in our culture, but in our political arena also.
Congressman Hill, you're exactly right, and I've said that for years and years and years. If, and I use that not as a question, but as a statement, if the scripture says, and it does, Jesus speaking, and he is, that we're to be the salt and light, if we're to be the salt of the world and the light of the world, and we're not doing that, we can expect decay in society and darkness in our world as a result of it. I believe, Congressman Hill, what we need to do as Christians, we need to stand up for the unborn baby in the womb. We need to be willing to stand, and we need to be willing to stand and say that abortion is murder. And yet, I see that being pushed on every hand by the Marxist media and by the Socialist Communist Democratic Party, and I see silence in the pulpits. Are you familiar with the name Jack Hibbs out of California?
Yes, I am.
I've got several articles in relationship to that. Let me give you the headlines and get your take on it. The pastor of California megachurch who endorsed the GOP as a senator that he's recommending, Jack Hibbs, pastor of Calvary Chapel in California, urged his congregation to support this particular candidate, noting that he believed God is wanting candidates who is pro-life. California voters are set to head the bill on Voters are set to head to the bills on March 5th to make the pick in California Senate primary. More than 10,000 people attend his church, according to his website. And he made that profound statement. I watched it by way of video. I've got a two-page article on that. And there are a lot of folks that have come unglued. In fact, there's some that are saying, in fact, what is it, the organization, called the organization Freedom From Religion Foundation. They said they're going to go to the IRS. They're going to get his 501c3 taken because he ought not to be able to say things like that from the pulpit. Now, I want your take on that. I realize in 1954 with Lyndon Baines Johnson as a senator, he passed added in a rider to a transportation bill that supposedly made it illegal for a church, for a pastor to stand in the pulpit and say anything about the civil government. Is that right? Is that wrong? Is that still enforceable? Was it ever enforced? Was there ever a case where a pastor was prosecuted because of that? What is your take on that? What are your thoughts about that?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, there never has been a pastor who's been prosecuted because of what, at that time, Senator Johnson, later President Johnson did. And in fact, there are a number of churches, my good friends with wall builders, David Barton out of Aledo, Texas, they intentionally try to bring cases before the IRS of churches saying, hey, this church is actively supporting the candidate, and the IRS will do nothing. The reason they will do nothing is because they know that if a determination is made by, it would likely have to go to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court says that there is no standing here to prevent a pastor from speaking truth and speaking his religious beliefs. There is nothing they can do to stop that. They don't want to have that hearing, that ruling. And so that's why they'll never take up the challenge that is brought to them each year. Now, here is a group, a anti-Christian, anti-American, pro-demonic group, Freedom From Religion, that wants to bring this before the IRS. And I predict that the IRS will again not make any statement at all on this. because they don't want it to go to the courts, because the courts will rule that it is unconstitutional to prevent a pastor from saying from the pulpit who they are supporting for a congressional seat or any other political seat. They have no authority to stop that, because our Constitution, Amendment 1, First Amendment, gives us freedom of speech and freedom of religion, not freedom from religion, not freedom from speech. Freedom of is the operative word. And so pastors should stand up. If they fear losing their 501c3 status, so be it, but it won't happen. You should not be beholden to the government. Instead, just like when Peter and I think it was John, who were brought before the Sanhedrin, they said, we should obey God rather than man.
Absolutely. And one of the things that some misunderstand and misinterpret when you say that, when I say that, is that somehow, some way, we're to stand up and just disagree with all laws. For example, I've used this term. If you get to an intersection, you see a red sign, octagonal shape, and it says STOP. Now, back when I was growing up as a teenager, less than 100 years ago, it meant slide tires on pavement. But today, it means stop. And if you don't stop, you're going to get a ticket because you've broken the law. So it's not in that category that we're to be anarchist and not obey the law, but to stand for truth and to stand for righteousness and to stand for what God would have us to. For example, I've used this term, the three Hebrew boys in Daniel chapter 3, when the king said, here's this image, let's fall down and worship a false god, and everybody did so. All of those that were important had gotten engraved invitations to come to that great conflagration and meeting. And so when the music was played, everybody bowed down to that false god. And these three young Hebrew men, we call them God-fearers. We call them Christians today. We call them God-fearers in the Old Testament. They said, we're not going to do it. We refuse to do so. The king called them in and challenged them in the 17th and 18th verses of the third chapter of Daniel. And they said, we believe our God's able to deliver us, but if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow to your demand that we worship a false god that is directed by the government of our day. And I've said that many, many times. That's the position that Christians ought to take. But it's not just when we stand as Christians and conservatives and patriots in our churches and speak out for truth and for righteousness and for the proper candidates, as I believe that every pastor should. I'm looking at a headline. Again, it's about Jack Hibbs. California pastor Jack Hibbs answers Democrats' critics of his prayer to Congress. He had a prayer January the 30th, 2024, before Congress. He says, I was honored to pray before the Congress. But in a letter addressed to the Speaker Johnson, 26 Democrats accused Hibbs afterwards of being an ill-qualified hate pastor who was pushing a Christian nationalist agenda, according to the roll call mid-February. Goes further, says Pastor Jack Hibbs reacted to the Democrat accusations by saying, now listen to this, Congressman Hill. Jack Hibbs said this, you know, I was honored to pray. And what a lot of people don't realize is that two-thirds of my prayer was simply lifted in part from the ancient prayers, so to speak, from 1774. He says this, it begins this way, O Lord, our Heavenly Father, high and mighty King of kings and Lord of lords, who dost from thine throne behold all dwellers on earth and reignest with power supreme and uncontrolled over all kingdoms, empires, and governments. Look down in mercy, we beseech thee, on thee, these our American states, who have fled to thee from the rod of oppressors and thrown themselves on thy gracious protection, desiring to be henceforth dependent on thee alone. Then it says, Representative Jared Huffman of California, Jamie Raskin of Maryland, and Mark Pecan of Wisconsin, who were the top organizers and signers of a two-page letter. According to Huffman's website, the letter stated in the opening paragraph, Jack Hibbs is a radical Christian nationalist who helped fuel the January 6th insurrection. Now, this is the point that I'm talking about, and I want your take on it. You see, regardless of what a Christian does, conservative Christians and patriots in America today, it appears to me by the Socialist Marxist Communist Party, the Democrats, view we the people, the conservatives, the Christians, and the patriots, and that is pretty much inclusive of most of Americans that voted for President Donald J. Trump, for example, we're considered second-class to third-class citizens. So how should we respond? Should Christians do as many have, go into the cocoon, hide in the closet, cease to say anything? In fact, during the election for President Trump, multitudes of conservatives and Christians wouldn't even say who they were voting for fear of being mocked and ridiculed, made fun of, etc. So how should we live? How should we respond, in your opinion, seeing what we are facing today in this present society?
Dr. Youngblood, I loved how Pastor Gibbs quoted from 1774, because that accurately reflects what our founding fathers thought of this nation, that this nation was founded on Christian principles by Christians, and that is how the country was going to be sustained. He did exactly right. Now, since the beginning, we have had those on the left, seditious people who want to undermine what this nation stands for and what it is all about, a constitutional republic that fears God. They hate that. They hate it because they hate God. And so they will, no matter what you say, they will turn it around and twist it because they're liars. Here was Pastor Gibbs quoting from a prayer that was used in 1774, and they used that to say that he was part of the January 6th insurrection, which of course is a lie anyway. And right. They know it's a lie, but they will say that. They don't care. They will lie without compunction because that's who they are. Jesus called them out. He said, you're a liar, and you act just like your father, Satan, who's the father of all lies. It comes natural for you, and that is what they do. No, we as Christians need to stand up and do more of what Pastor Gibbs did, and that is to declare that we do worship the living God, and he is to be a part of our politics. He is to be a part of this great nation, because that is what made us great.
Absolutely. One of the things they said further in the letter about Pastor Hibbs was this. The letter blasts Hibbs himself and what he preaches and stands for, saying that he, the pastor, has a long record of spewing hateful vitriol toward non-Christian immigrants and members of the LGBTQ community. He should never have been granted the right to deliver the House's opening prayer on January the 30th. Pastor Hibbs says this, "The fact is that a Christian nationalist is a Christian who happens to live in America." They've called him a Christian nationalist. Here's what he states then. Jeremiah 29:7 says that you should seek the welfare of the city in which I have planted you in for the betterment of all. That's a good challenge for the Christians to be salt and light in the community that God has placed us in. And that's one of the things that I am so delighted to hear you say, that I believe every Christian, every conservative, every patriot that's tuned in today needs to grow a spine and be willing to stand for morals, ethics, and values. In fact, I believe it was John Adams that said, our Constitution is only good for a religious people, a virtuous people, and we need to get back to our founding fathers and the position of morals and ethics and values and stand for it. Stand for the truth. Stand for what our constitutional republic stands for and what God has given us in that. Congressman Hill, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. If you would hang in there. Ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dials. Right after the news, we'll be right back as we continue to face the issues today.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, WAYL, St. Augustine, WATY, Folkston.
You're listening to The Truth.